Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
You know, the idea of our lives, you think about it, the way God set this up, and Kevin referred to it, is the way life is. It's just like the Garden of Eden. I mean, that's what our life becomes when we become Christians, when we give our lives to the Lord. What God does is say, look, everything here, everywhere you plant your foot, you possess it. Everything you put your hand to, it prospers. No weapon formed against you ever will. You think about it, this whole thing set up, it's still set up as family, like nepotism, just like the Garden of Eden was. Yet God said, this one tree, this is mine, you can't touch it. And so it's synonymous with the tithe. But so often, man, that's our test in life. Is God says, now look, test me now, prove me now in this. If I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall immature from the vine, and you'll be called a delightful land. You know, none of that, what's interesting is that the deception of the enemy and religion has made the tithe a financial issue. And if I'd ask you guys, I mean, most of you, if I'd say, do you tithe, do you not tithe? It's really, I don't make it any of my business. Sandy and I don't make it our business who tithes and who doesn't tithe here. We don't go check on who gives and who, but I often think people that have issues that are overwhelming in their life, I often think, man, do they tithe? Because I know in my life, when something hits my life, man, in my conversation with God, I don't know how you guys talk with God. The way I do is, hey, God, man, I'm honoring you with the tithe. And it's foremost in my life. It's one of those things that is an absolute in my life. And for me, because why? What does that do? Because the tithe then triggers, man, the same concept as the Garden of Eden. Everything here is yours. Man, you possess it, you take dominion, you do. But he said, look, this one thing. And the one thing for me is that first 10%. And I didn't plan on talking about this, but I'm telling you, I think we need to visit it now and again. I think we need to remember. Otherwise, what the enemy is cunning, and he makes it a financial decision for us. You know, it has nothing to do with our finances. What God's doing is opening up the windows of heaven, and listen, pouring out a blessing. Write that down, that God's pouring out a blessing. Because what that blessing is, that blessing has nothing about you, had nothing to do with your finances. That blessing, listen, is a spiritual lift in your life. That's what that does. He pours out a blessing that spiritually lifts your life. Man, so that you're above everything. And see, and that's how this works. When it comes to authority, the kingdom, the world's about respect. The kingdom's about authority. The kingdom's about honor. The world's about, hey, you better respect my property. You better respect. And with God, what that honor becomes is way beyond. I've heard it referred to as an awesome respect. I can't even put it in the same line item as respect. See, we've got to understand our lives now that God wants our lives blessed. And the way he wants them is super abundantly blessed. So then we look at the entirety of our lives and really why we're a church. Your church attendance, your church service, your church, everything you do in the church, it boils down to three basic things. Number one is that it honors God. That's what it does. Number one, it honors God. That's what you being here at church, it honors God. But all that is just spills over from your life of honor. You're living a life to honor God. How many guys, that's your heart, to live a life that honors God? Man, that's me totally. Man, that's why it's like I gotta go, God, oh my gosh, please forgive me. Man, that attitude I had, those words that I said, man, the actions of my life, they have to line up with honoring God. And listen to this. In Proverbs 15:33, it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor, you guys reading that? Before honor is humility. Do you see that? See, there's so many people that don't have any clue about honor and are not honorable because there's no humility operating in their life. Everything is about them. Everything is about what they can get. Man, I'll tell you what, when you suffer offense, that's just a lack of humility. Man, when you get your feelings hurt, it's just you're missing the mark on humility. I mean, really, honestly, you got to take responsibility. Take responsibility for your life. Get out in front of your issues and be prepared to take whatever hit. Man, run this race as one who wins. See, so we honor God. And so here's how this works. Listen, how it works is that first come, it's humility. That's how you want to lead with. You want to lead, you want to walk into the room, you're greeting, everything is just humility. So it's humility. Now listen, then what happens? It triggers honor. And you know what honor brings? Life. And that life is Zoe. It's the God kind of life. The life of more than enough. So it's real easy for us to look at this. It's like, okay, man, if I live a life of humility, I'm gonna honor God. Otherwise, you know what? I'm gonna get all I could get. I'm gonna climb the ladder of success. Doesn't matter who I step on to get there. I get a competitive nature. I'm gonna beat everybody. See, we've got to understand that all of that defies humility. And what we have to understand is this. Listen, without Him, I'm nothing. And I'll be honest with you, I'm as good a Christian as in here. But without Him, I'm nothing. Nothing. See, that was the deceit that the enemy used with Adam and Eve, that they didn't need God. Right? And so what they had to do is they had to slide the humility out of the way and partake of that fruit. And what's interesting is when you know God, man, the dependence on that tree of the knowledge of good and evil it's omitted from our life now. And I don't need that tree. I don't need the juicy gossip. I don't need the latest trends. I don't need all that. No, you know what? It's the world is just going to drag you around. And I don't need that. I just want to honor God with my life. And when you do that, it starts with humility. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility." And in the margin of my Bible, I parallel the verse that pride comes before the fall. You know, it's interesting, whether it's business people or politicians or preachers, you know what's interesting is sin doesn't bring people down. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Anybody in here sinless? You may have made it through the day. You may be almost without sin. You're sneaking by in 2015. But listen, but what brings the fall? Pride. Man, the cover up, the pointing fingers, the trying to cast blame, not taking responsibility, not being accountable. Man, all of that. But see, we look at this and we've got to understand now that humility is everything, and before honor is humility. You see, I want to live an honorable life. I want to be an honorable man. So I've got to walk in humility. I mean, and it's interesting. There's people in my life that have it. Sandy absolutely has it. The elders have it. There's other people here that say, man, you got to be careful about pride there. Man, the young guys, the emerging leaders that are coming up in our church, these guys that, man, they're way ahead of me or where I was at that age. And you know what I got to tell them? It's how I raised my son. Man, there's two big things that you've got to absolutely have an overcoming nature, and one is pride, and the other one is for a men's meeting. But we've got to understand, and we've got to look at this, and man, we've got to have our pride, and you can't have your pride in check. You have to crucify it. You can't put it in check. What do you think? What do you think? You put it in check, and then you go to do something, and that pride lays down. That pride's gonna be, man, you've got to crucify that. So we have to and understand that honor is before, or humility is before honor all the time. Number one was honoring God. Number two is we edify others. This one's huge. This is why we're a church. This is why I'm here. You don't need leadership in the church if we're not building people up. The whole strategy, everything we do, all the meetings we have, all the money that we spend, it's all about building people up. Man, you go to a Friday grocery service. How many of you guys have ever been to a Friday grocery service? Man, you know what it's all about? Man, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Okay, everybody say it with me. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. You know what that does? It builds people up. See, that's what this is. We're not trying to break people down because of the situation they're in and how they got there. I personally don't give two hoots on how you got to where you are. Man, let's just go from here. Man, let's kick the dust from our feet. Let's take the cleansing blood of Jesus and let's go. Does this make sense, Jason? We got to build people up. Jason, the reason you're here tonight is to build people up. Man, you got to find people and build them up. Man, you got to find people. You got to make sure, you know, Curtis Hunsinger's preaching tonight in Skytook as he does every Wednesday night. And he texted me, he said, man, this is what I'm preaching on. And you know what I did? I said, man, I read that and meditated on that Monday. And we had a dialogue for 2 or 3 minutes just via text. And you know what it did? I guarantee it built him up. It built me up. And you see, that's what we have to do. We're about building one another up. And Paul said, as a master builder. But it's important that you leave a place better than when you got there. And then it works out. Romans 14:19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. Now listen, and the things by which one may edify another. Pursue that. And you know what? Initially, you'll say, man, how do I do it? Here's the deal. You got to figure it out. What you do is you take a lot of what I do, man. I'm preaching and I change the inflection of my voice and I get passionate. Why? Because I want you to be able to take this as an example and go and do it. How do we end the services? As you go preach, man. Why? Because how will they know unless someone tell them? How somebody tell them they're going to preach? What does that preach? It's not put a mic. It's not get a mic and get a crowd of people. It's to boldly proclaim. It's take a stand. That's the preach that we do. Man, our life has to preach. Our marriages have to preach. Our children have to preach. How we work. Man, some of you guys work for scoundrels or knuckleheads. Let me just tell you, it doesn't matter, man. Just you go in and outwork everybody. The Bible says work is of unto the Lord. Man, you work as a man of the Lord, you know what you're going to do? You're going to change the heart of the people that you work for. Or you know what? God's going to move you out and get you a better deal. Man, that's how you get a better deal. Promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. It comes from above. Man, how many of you guys know that God's heart is to promote you, to promote your business, to promote your ministry? Yeah, you know what? That's his heart. Absolutely. But you can't go to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and get that done. Man, you got to always honor God. You got to be edifying others. 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 4 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Some of your Bibles say expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Man, I'm telling you, these are weighty sayings. Man, marriage conflict, selfish. It is. Man, there's times I just don't feel like even saying the last word. Don't want to. Don't feel like it. I'm gonna get the last word. And you know what? And after 30 years of marriage, I think there's times where she follows my lead and does the same. And where does it go? See, we've got to be people. This is about edifying others. I have to pursue building people up. And where does it start? It starts in the household of faith. It starts in my house. It starts with our elders. It starts with our staff. It starts with our leaders. Man, I want Carrie to be built up tonight. But the word does that. See, the word's alive. It's sharp. Man, it counters all the lies of the evil one. Some of you guys are thinking, man, I think I'm in trouble in my health. I think I'm in trouble. Let me just tell you, you've got to turn to where your help comes from, and it always comes from him. See, and we've got to be those people. The third thing is we have to grow personally. And I'll tell you, you're going to hear this a lot this year, I got a feeling, and maybe longer than this year. Man, that we're honoring God, we're edifying others, and we're growing personally. Man, I don't know. I think that if we just make this our mission to get these three down, these three things, we're growing personally. Are you growing? And what I love is when I see people that are growing. Man, I look at the Salazars, and all I've seen for the last two or three years is they're growing, man. God's doing something in their life. Man, and it's evidence too. And see, there's got to be fruit. There's got to be evidence of that growth. Do you know how big a deal it is? It's too cold outside to go play tennis or anything. But so why don't you just go home and study the Word and study the whole idea of evidence in the Word? Because you know we're witnesses, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Witness to what? God's supernatural dominion, God's power, God's strength, God's ability, man, God's life. Are y'all here? Yeah. See, this is what we're witnesses. So now, as witnesses, what do we have to produce? We have to produce evidence. Evidence of a life well lived, a life serving God. Does this make sense to you? That we're honoring God, that we're edifying others, that we're growing personally. Man, if you're here and you're looking for a date, you're not going to fit in. No, this isn't a meat market. Man, if you're here and you're just thinking, well, you know what? Man, this is one of those easy places to go to church. It's probably not going to be an easy place to go to church. It's not. Man, because you know why? We pastor the way we parent. I mean, our kids drive the cars wrong, it's like, give me the keys. It's that easy. But see, it's the same way with us. We need that in our life. See, there's a lot of teachers or a lot of boy leaders out there. A lot of people that'll just pat you on the back and say, hey, doesn't matter who wins, doesn't matter what score you get, doesn't matter, man, everybody's gonna get to go to the next grade. Let me tell you, man, your education's not worth anything if everybody gets to go, no matter what scores they get or no matter what kind of work they put in. Man, we've got to be ones that prove, that show the evidence that we're true witnesses of Jesus. And then, man, we get to the good part, which to me, it starts, an easy segue here is Romans 8:28. Man, how many of you guys know what, I know Scott knows what Romans 8:28 is. Man, how many of you guys know without looking it up what Romans 8:28 is? It's something I think you need to know. Why? Because it says all things, and we know. Man, I love the way he transitions into this verse. He said, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Man, all things work together for good. Why? Because we're honoring God. We're building other people up and we're growing. Man, if I'm growing, let me just tell you, I know I'm growing right now. Man, I know there's been resistance in my life. I've been pruned a little bit. Man, I've been called into check on some things. Man, by God, by people around me in my life. Man, I want to live my life as an open book, read of all men. I want to be a living epistle. Man, some of you guys need some input on how you're raising your kids. Some of you guys need some input on if you're treating your wife honorably. But you know what? I know that remember the first P, the you can't get it in check. You got to crucify it. Pride is going to keep you from that. Man, what guys in this room, what somebody sit down and say, man, let me talk to you about how you treat your wife. But you know what? Maybe nobody has. Man, we're going through wedding planning right now. It is consuming. I'm not kidding you. I'm an expert. I could be a wedding planner after this whole thing. I'm only going to do it twice though, so forget it. You can't hire me. But here's the point. The point with that is the wedding's amazing. It's a memory. But you know what I care about is the marriage. The wedding, yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be beautiful. It's because Brooklyn's beautiful. But the marriage, that's what I care about. Man, anytime her her fiance calls me or texts me or anything, man, I'm adding to some things. Why? Because that marriage matters to me. Man, I think about George Bush Sr. and celebrated their 70th anniversary. You know, all I can think of is, I can't wait to do that with Sandy. See, we this is important to us. But see, if you don't have anybody checking you, if you don't have anybody, but see, there's a compliance that comes with this. You got to know whom you labor with. You got to don't be of many teachers. The Bible says there's a lot of teachers or boy leaders, but not many fathers. Man, a father is one of those guys that you're not going to get by on him. Why? There's a supernatural intuition. There's an intuitiveness that comes with fathering. Did you know that? Man, there is. Some of you guys that are fathers, man, you need to have a come Sunday, because I'm going to talk about the partnership that we have in life, and it's going to be phenomenal. But B, man, check yourself that you're in faith. Check yourself that hear from God that, man, there's that intuition that God gives us and a discernment that comes in where it's like, oh my gosh, man, I can't find my peace. Okay, don't take another step. Whoa, Nelly. Why? Because all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, no matter what. Man, while all things are happening, listen to this. You might want to write this statement down or take a picture of it on your phone. While all things are happening, God's protective care is working on our behalf of them who love God. Man, just let that settle just for a minute. While things are happening, whatever you're going through, Jason, what are you going through right now? Just in your life, what are you going through? What are you dealing with? Transition. Man, transition's difficult. He's had a dad that's been in ministry 150 years, and he's taking it over and walking in it, right? That's a big transition, and he's like 18 years old. So what he's got to do, he's got to transition. Now listen, while all that stuff is happening in that transition, and it gets dicey, doesn't it? Man, there's some things that we've done that forever. It's like, okay, but tomorrow we're never doing it again. Those kind of things, right? So while all things are happening, God's protection, God's protective care is working on Jason's behalf. No matter what's happening. I mean, what are you dealing with? I mean, what's going on in your life? I mean, you think about it, you got an unexpected bill, you lose a job. Oh my gosh, man, they're terminating my position. What am I going to do? You're going to trust God. Man, I didn't get that promotion. Man, my feelings are hurt. No, let me tell you, you're allowed to have your feelings hurt, and then you got to go 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005. I'm over it. I'm good. You got to get over it as quick as you can, to the point where you become unoffendable, to the point where it's like, you know, people are going to hurt your feelings, but God never will. So what do you have to do? Man, you've got to look at all things work together for good. Man, God's protective care is working on my behalf. Isn't that good news, Sandy? That God's protective care is working on your behalf. My gosh, I mean, it's, and you know what? The way God frames this, are you guys ready for this? How many grandparents are in here? How many of you guys have parents and you have kids too? That's probably a bigger question. Parents and kids. Okay, that it extends that far for you, that protective care. Man, all throughout the words, it's generation upon generation upon generation. Man, your kids, you're worried about your kids? Man, stop worrying and start trusting God. Man, that protective care is in place. That protective care is working. Man, how many of you guys can begin now to start trusting God's protective care in your life, no matter what it is that you face? Let me see your hands. That you'll begin today. You'll begin doing it. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, did he know you? Did God know you before you were born? How many of you guys believe he did? How many of you guys believe when you were born, God goes, dear God, it's a boy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No, you know what? God knew you before you were born. So listen, for whom he foreknew, and you know what? Above that word foreknew in your Bible, just write me. before he knew me, he also predestined me to be conformed to the image of his son. Okay? And all that means is God has a plan. Stick with the plan. Well, I want to know what the 10-year projection is. You don't get to. Well, I want to know what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't get to know about tomorrow. Today's got enough issues for you. And that's what the word says. Man, give no thought for tomorrow. Today's issues are sufficient therein. You got your hands full today, don't you, Justin? Man, my hands are full with today. I don't have a judgment problem because my plate's full with me. I don't have enough time to, when I take care of me, I'll start judging y'all. But you know what? I don't have that kind of time. I don't have that kind of ability because I've got me. Okay, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. God has predestined us, verse 29 says, to be conformed to the image of his son. Quit thinking the way other people talk. And it's wrong. I'm telling you, it's dangerous to start saying, well, God, you know what? That tumor was predestined. God must have put that on you to teach you something. You show me anywhere in the word God puts a tumor on one of his kids to teach him. Show me. And you know what? I'll buy in. I'll change the way I preach. I've preached this for probably 30, 35 years now. And you know what? Nobody's ever said, look right here in the word. Look right here in the word where God put a tumor on one of his sons to teach him. No one's done that. So you know what? I'm not buying it. I'm not buying in. So if God hadn't predestined us to that tumor, what has God predestined us to? To be conformed to the image of his son and to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That I'm a new creation in Christ now. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new kind of man. Do you guys realize that? How many of you guys are first generation Christians in your family? Let me see your hands. You didn't have parents, you didn't have people that served God. Yeah, you know what? You're a new kind of person. We are. My family are Christians, but you know what? For the most part, I don't think they get me at all. I really don't think they do. I think they're scratching their head. I think that they, but why? Because I take a radical approach to this. See, I don't know if you guys knew, so I need to kind of break the news to you, okay? I am fanatical about this. I'm a fanatic, okay? So if you're like, I don't want to be around any fanatics, we're not going to go to the movie house together. We may not go and get a coffee or anything because I'm a fanatic, all right? And but the whole idea of this is now is that why? Because I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. Man, there's no snake oil out at the coffee shop or anything like that. No, you know, we're not levitating anybody up here to convince anybody. I'm not selling you anything. I'm just telling you I'm sold. I'm absolutely sold. I'm sold that God loves you. I'm sold that there is not anything that you've done in your life that God won't forgive you of. So you know what? Man, I want to promote people forgiving themselves. I want to promote people getting over the things in their life that they've done, that they're ashamed of and guilty of. Do you understand that the death and resurrection of Jesus gives us an opportunity to cast our shame and our guilt and our care upon him because he cares for us? Do you know what God does in your life is he keeps you hidden. This is amazing. Like he'll keep you hidden from the enemy. Man, the enemy's tried to take me out, I guarantee you. But you know what? He can't get to me. You know why? I'm hidden in Christ. But then guess what? Man, that white throne of judgment that's in the heavens, you know I'm hidden from that too. I'm hidden in Christ. You know the awesome thing is that I'm not going to stand in judgment. I'm going to have to make account, sure, at the judgment seat of Christ where I'm hidden in Christ. And you know what I have to make account for? Every idle word. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, and I think about that. I think, oh my gosh, there's so much just odd. And you know what? Man, idle words are words that don't build anybody up. Man, I don't want to be about that. I want to build people up. Joe, I want you to be built up. Man, you guys, there's so many people that it's like, this isn't about position or fame or appointment from man. Man, we had an elder meeting last night, and Roger Walsh, we're sitting there, we went around the room, and Roger just said, I've got an assignment from God. I mean, let me just tell you something. The presence of God was so thick in my family room, it was hard to breathe in there at times. But you know what part of it is? What he just said, remember that, Sandy? He said, I'm an assignment from God. I have an assignment on my life. Just think about what's your assignment? Man, forget what man's gonna give you. You're not getting medals. Man, there's not a chore chart in the back room of the church with your name and a bunch of gold stars. I mean, no, you know what? That's for little kids. Man, we've got to be people that know that God's predestined me to be like his son, his image. Verse 31, we're getting to the good part. Don't you love the word? Huh? Do you love God's word? Man, do you just think about it sometimes? Just think, you know what? I don't read it often enough. I've got to make myself sometimes. But you know what? When I do read it, I love it. Are you like that? Man, do you just love God's word? What then should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Just, you know what? Let's just take 5 seconds and meditate on that. I'm going to repeat it. And then let's just meditate on it for 5 seconds. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Holy Toledo. Do you love God's word? Man, he didn't spare his son. How's he gonna withhold stuff from you? Man, he paid it all. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. See, this is a big deal. And he's sitting at the right hand of God right now, making intercession for you, standing in the gap for you, for me. And this thing is fail-safe for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it's written, for your sake, we're all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, man, these things are bad. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. See, what God showed me a long, long time ago, and I was a relatively new Christian, probably been inside a year of being a Christian. How many of you guys have been inside? You're inside a year serving God. Can I see your hands? Okay. You're in the same boat I was in then. And I asked God, I said, God, talk to me. God, help me with this more than conqueror deal. It was funny. And it just came to me. It was like, it was almost instant. And what hit me was, a conqueror is someone who wins and overcomes. Someone who's more than a conqueror, knows he's gonna win, and knows he's gonna overcome. See, so no matter what it is, what can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Man, look at that list. Man, figure out what you're dealing with and where it is on that list and realize it cannot whip you. All you're gonna do is conquer it. All you're gonna do is overcome it. Man, and it's, yet we know in all these things, we're more than conquerors. And you know what that boils down to? And you can write this down. All the time, every day, we win every day, but you can write this down. We overcome. That's what we do. What happens when bad things happen to good people? Write this down. We overcome. What happens when you get a bad report? What happens when all the odds are against you? We overcome. Man, what happens when the market crashes and everything that you had prepared for goes out the window? We overcome. What happens when they slight you at your work? We overcome. What happens when they mistabulate your bill at the hardware store and they accidentally give you that lawnmower. You don't go out to your truck and say, "Yes, I just got a free lawnmower." You walk in and you say, "Hey, you didn't charge me for that lawnmower and I'm gonna pay for it." Why? See, it works both ways, and we've got to be those people. That's the people that we have to be. We've got to be the people that we don't have to beg, we don't have to bar, we don't have to cheat, we don't have to connive, we just live strong. Why? It's that easy. It's that simple. This right here, this is who we are. This is what we do. Who are we? We overcome. What do? We overcome. It is simple. And see, if you get that mindset, then you get to the place where the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God or right with God." Why? We overcome. Man, what are we going to do? Man, what's going to happen? Man, something. It's perilous times. It's dark days. Perilous times, dark days. Utter darkness. I mean, all this stuff that's in the Word. So what do we have to do? We overcome. Even if they change the slate, we overcome. Verse 38, because I love this part. There's parts of the Word I love. I love Paul. I love his writing. Man, he's genius. Listen, "For I am persuaded." Oh my gosh. Just think about the attitude when he penned this. Did they have pens then? No. Who knows? Who cares? "For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ in Christ Jesus." You are locked arms with him. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you know what that causes you? It causes you to overcome. What are you going to do in life? What are you going to commit? I've made covenant with God, and a part of that covenant assures me where I'm persuaded that no matter what, I overcome. No matter what. What are you going to do? You're going to get back up and you're going to overcome. But the righteous get knocked down. What do they do? Get back up. They get knocked down seven times. What do? They get back up. You get popped in the cheek. What do? Turn the other cheek. Why? You overcome. Man, you don't return evil for evil. Man, these are evil days. There are evil people. What are we doing? Let's just go kill them all. Let's just go burn their house down. No. We overcome. Turn the other cheek. Keep your mouth shut. Be angry and sin not. Don't let that anger spew out of your mouth. Why? We overcome. Man, that's the whole deal. Having done all to stand, what do? You stand there for. In the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. Man, when you take a stand, not just a moral stand, you take a righteous stand and you stand, guess what happens? Guess what begins to flood your life? The liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. And the whole idea of God giving us this truth is for us to live in freedom, for us to be free. You're addicted in here. You don't have to be another minute. Why? Why? Because nothing can separate you from God's love. His love never fails. And guess what? He'll cause that addiction to quake, just like he caused that prison to quake. That wasn't an earthquake that hit that prison. That was God that hit that prison. That God looking and saying, "That they got my boy falsely imprisoned. Guess what's going to happen? Those chains aren't going to be able to keep him." Boom, they fell off. Those doors have to go open. Boom, they swing open. And you know what? Everybody's walking out, and that jailer's going to kill himself because he lost all these invaluable prisoners to the state of Rome. And you know what? He's going to impale himself. And they go, whoa, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. He's like, "Who are you guys?" Man, we're believers in Jesus. Man, we're believers. We put our trust in the cross and the empty tomb. Man, we're trusting God. He's like, "You know what? I want in. If you're that kind of guy, I want in." What were they in that prison to that jailer? There were witnesses. What did them not running for cover exhibit in their lives? The evidence that Christ had set them free. God, we just thank you today for your word. God, I thank you for all these incredible people in here, people watching on the internet. God, I thank you now that what, no matter what the enemy tries to do, God, we prevail. We overcome no matter what. Because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we are trusting, God, we are trusting the blood-bought life that you've given us. And God, we're going to speak that trust. That's all we're going to speak is trust. Just covet it with God right now. Just to speak the trust that overcomes the world. Just covenant with God right now. Just make covenant. It's a life for life exchange. Receive that into your life. Give up your doubt. Give up your hesitancy. And just receive that trust.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.